This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, with episode number 780. 780 as we approach episode 800, and then 900, and then 1,000. Thank you, loyal listeners, for listening for all of this time. I know most of you have been listening for a very long time. And new listeners, welcome to you. And we have seen a lot of our new listeners come aboard, and it's just really exciting. Our downloads in the past, the past year or so, maybe year and a half, have just about quadrupled, so we're very happy to see that. And if you are new to the show, be sure to go back and listen to the old episodes. And if you are a veteran listener that's been listening for a decade or so, then don't miss those Flashback Friday episodes. I handpick those, and I tell you, there's a lot of good stuff there. I know some of you bad people skip them, but most of you are very good, and you don't skip them because you know the importance of review. As Tony Robbins says, repetition is the mother of skill. Well, today it is a 10th episode, and as you know, with every 10th episode, we go off topic. We don't talk about the economy. We don't talk about monetary policy. We don't talk necessarily about personal finance. We don't talk about investing. We talk about something of interest to all of us, something of general interest. And today, we will have Jen Sincero on the show. Yes, she is the author of a burgeoning, and I think will be very successful, franchise of badass books. Yes, badass books. Let me tell you how I discovered her, because it's kind of a cool story. I was looking at Facebook. My friend Taylor had posted something about this book, and I thought, you know, I have had so much of this motivational content. As you regular listeners know, I was very fortunate at the ripe old age of 17 to discover the life-changing mentors that I had, and those were Dennis Waitley, Zig Ziglar, Earl Nightingale, and Jim Rohn. Those mentors, of course, we all know who they are. They changed my life in an incredibly positive way, and helped me become the person I am today and achieve success beyond my wildest dreams after growing up as a poor kid in Los Angeles, California. I can't believe the kind of mobility, socioeconomic mobility, my life has been fortunate to achieve. And I couldn't have done it, without these tremendous mentors, Jim Rohn, Earl Nightingale, Dennis Waitley, Zig Ziglar. They were a profound influence on my life. And so I've consumed a lot of this content over the years, you know, motivational speakers, audio programs, books, seminars, everything. And when Taylor posted this, I thought, you know, this is just another one of these motivational speakers. But I got to tell you, Taylor is gorgeous, right? So that was a little bit of an influence on me. That was the first one. And she recommended this book on her Facebook page. And I thought, you know, I got to drive home. I'm driving from, San Diego or Orange County? Somewhere in Southern California, maybe LA, I can't remember. And I had to drive into the night. And I thought, you know, I'll download this book on Audible before I drive home. And, you know, it's about a 5.5-6 hour drive. And the car did most of the driving because, you know, Tesla, self-driving car, that's kind of cool. So you get a little bored, frankly, when you've got a self-driving car or even an almost self-driving car. And I tell you, I was listening to Jen's book, and I was just laughing and laughing and laughing. It was so funny. She's got such a great sense of humor. It was great to become kind of reacquainted with some of this this great kind of content, general mindset content. Jen has achieved a lot in her life and really changed her fortunes by implementing some of these techniques. And so that's what we are going to do as a 10th show today. We're going to have Jen Sincero on the show, and she will talk about some of that great stuff. Now, if you are coming to Meet the Masters this weekend, yes, this weekend, our Meet the Masters of Income Property, our 19th event, it's only annual now. We used to do it twice a year. G. Edward Griffin will be speaking, and many of you know he wrote the incredibly famous book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. If you have that book, feel free to bring your copy and ask G. Edward Griffin to sign it. He will probably be willing to do autographs. I don't see why he wouldn't. Here's your chance to meet G. Edward Griffin, to hear him speak at Meet the Masters of Income Property in person. If you have the Creature from Jekyll Island book, I know Venture Alliance members, if you're a member of my mastermind group, the Venture Alliance, I sent you copies of them before we did our trip to Jekyll Island. Bring your book, and G. Edward Griffin, I'm sure, will be happy to sign it at Meet the Masters. We've also got Darren Bloomquist with Realty Track, who is speaking. He's going to make some phenomenal predictions and give us some great insights into what to expect in the new year and with the new Trump administration. And of course, we've got Garrett Sutton, Rich Dad Advisor, speaking. And if you cannot make it to Meet the Masters in person, for the first time ever, we are doing a live stream of the event. Yes, you can buy live streaming tickets. You can interact with us. You can ask questions that we will endeavor, just as much as our live audience, we will endeavor to answer them live at Meet the Masters of Income Property this weekend. So go to jasonhartman.com for either your in-person tickets. We've got, I think, 9 tickets left, literally 9 seats left. We have not sold out as of the time of this recording on Tuesday before the event. We got a larger room this year, so a little harder to sell it out. We are almost sold out. And if you can make it in person, grab a ticket for the in-person event. If not, grab a ticket for the live streaming, and we will look forward to seeing you there, either in person or virtually, and do that at jasonhartman.com in the events section. And without further ado, let's get to Jen Sincero. Hey, it's my pleasure to welcome Jen Sincero to the show. I came in contact with one of her books. She's got 4 books now, and it is entitled You Are a Badass, How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life. And I was driving, well, I was being driven, I should say, in my self-driving Tesla back at about 2 in the morning. You still have to stay awake, though. The car doesn't do it all yet. I was driving from Southern California back to Scottsdale, Arizona one night, and Jen was making me laugh like crazy. My dog was in the car, and my dog was wondering, what are you laughing at? You're all by yourself. And so her stuff is great. She's also got a new book, You Are a Badass at Making Money, Master Your Mindset of Wealth. Jen, welcome. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Good. And you're coming to us from beautiful Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Santa Fe, yes.
Santa Fe, good stuff. So first of all, are you a comedian? Do you have an actual background in comedy? Tell us about that.
I think so. I think I'm hilarious. I do not. But I grew up in a really funny family. Our dinner table was kind of like a writer's room. It was very competitive. And if you launched a bad joke, you paid heavily for it. But so I don't have any professional training, but I really, my family's hilarious. And I steal most of my most of my best material from them.
Well, you know, I saw my friend Taylor post your book on her Facebook wall. And, you know, I thought, oh, this book looks so general and kind of generic. I've, you know, read a zillion success books in my life. But I downloaded it because I had the drive and I got the Audible copy and I just loved it. It was fantastic. You know, definitely some new ideas, some new thinking on the topic, which I was impressed with, but also the humor just really made it stick, I think, really, really well. So I thought, Jen, maybe we'd talk about that book first, the Badass book, and then, you know, spend most of the interview on the wealth mindset, since a lot of our listeners are interested in money and personal finance and investing. Share with us some of the key ideas.
Well, it really is about getting a handle on your thoughts and understanding that you actually are in control of your life instead of acting like a victim. So it's just about becoming aware of what you're telling yourself, what you're telling other people, what you're buying into. Because we go through life so much in this sort of knee-jerky way where we just keep repeating the same patterns and over and over. So it isn't until you snap out of it and make the conscious decision to notice what you're thinking, doing, and saying, and how you're acting, that you can start making really huge changes in your life. And I got to say, when I started doing all this work on myself, I just refused to believe that that was really the main thing you had to do. I was like, it must be much more mysterious or so much harder or involve a degree, you know, but it really does boil down to that foundation of becoming aware, making better choices, and taking bigger actions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so becoming aware, making better choices, and taking bigger actions. And starting with that last one about the size of our actions, right? Are most of us just going through life dealing with petty things and petty concerns versus the big stuff?
Well, I think, you know, big is a relative term, but if you're doing stuff that's not scaring the crap out of you, you're not going to get anywhere because you're still hanging out in your comfort zone. So, you know, we always pretend we don't know what to do. And a lot of times we know exactly what we should do. We just don't want to do it. So it's so much easier to pretend we don't know than do that crazy thought that sort of pops into your head. And you're like, absolutely no way. That is way too expensive. Or that person hates me. I could never reach out to them, you know. The excuses instantly start piling in. But when you've made the decision to make a big change in your life, you hear those excuses and you move forward anyway.
Yeah, you know, all of the juice in life exists outside of our comfort zone, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you hear that over and over. I mean, I'm sure you've read a million self-help books and all that stuff. People are constantly talking about that. But the reason we're constantly talking about it is because it's so true. So really, one of the best things you can do is make sure you're really scaring yourself often and taking risks in the direction of stuff you want to do. I mean, don't scare the crap out of yourself over something you don't want to do, but
right.
Direction of your goal.
Yeah, yeah. Can you share some examples on any of those 3 points that listeners can take advantage of?
Okay, well, I'll talk about my own experience. And this will segue nicely into the Badass Money book, because the main reason I wrote You Are a Badass is because I went through such a major personal transformation. And it started really with finances. I was always broke and scraping by well into my 40s. And I just got so sick of myself. And so, you know, if we're going to talk about the 3 points I mentioned at the beginning, I became aware of the fact that the phrase, I can't afford it, came out of my mouth pretty much 17 times a day. and so I took a long, hard look at that. And I stopped saying that and opened myself up to figuring out how to afford it or being available to be able to afford it. Because once, if you keep saying I can't afford it, then that's the end of the story. It's like, can't afford it, it's over.
You create your own reality, right?
Exactly. So it's really powerful to knock that off, but you can't knock it off until you pay attention to it. So for me, that was a big one. And, you know, being available to have a different story than that one. And then, you know, then I met a woman who was a life coach who specialized in helping people get out of their financial suckery. And she wasn't cheap. But I met her and I really had such a great connection with her. And she personally had transformed her own finances and was, you know, making great money. And I really liked her and I really, really wanted to work with her. but she was so expensive, especially for me back then. And, you know, I couldn't, you know, quote unquote, couldn't afford it. But I figured out I went into debt to work with her. And that was easily the scariest, riskiest thing I personally could have done at the time. And it absolutely changed my life.
But Jen, was part of that experience the fact that you were so at stake because you went into debt to work with her, mm-hmm. that you brought a new Jen to the experience, right? If you were comfortable and everything was going well and this was just a little sideline and you threw some money at it and you could easily afford it, would it have made such a difference for you? Or was it because it was like your sort of your last ditch effort, maybe?
You know, I think for me at the time that absolutely had something to do with it. But I also believe if you're rolling in it and you've made the decision to make a change, even if you can't afford it, the more important part is the decision. So even if I had that money lying around, if I decided I wanted to triple my income, that's more important. So personally at the time, absolutely. I was terrified. I hate being in debt more than anything. I was really ready to change it up. So what you're saying was totally true for me at the time. And I also think it's not necessarily true for everybody that way.
Yeah. Interesting. You know, you said before that you were saying, you sort of glibly said 17 times a day you were saying you can't afford this, right? And I bet even more than you said that out loud, you were saying it to yourself in your self-talk, right? You probably had these constant conversations about lack or scarcity. How important is it that someone correct their internal dialogue too?
It's critical. It's all so critical because that's how you create your reality. You know, it really is that simple. What you believe and think and speak creates what you see. I mean, we hear it all the time, and I'm telling you, like, it took me so long to really buy into that crap, but it's true. It's so true.
There's a difference between understanding it intellectually and like having that gut understanding when you've seen it work, right?
Yep, totally.
Yeah. So if someone asks you, you know, they're listening to this and they're thinking, well, I want to do bigger things. I want to take bigger steps. I want to get out of my comfort zone. I want to do all of the stuff you're talking about. But they say, how do you do it? How do you change your self-talk or your actual talk? You know, if they're kind of saying, well, how do I do it? It sounds great. You know, I've heard that for years, just like you said, and I say too, but you know, if they ask how, you know, how do you do it?
Well, first I would look at an area of your life that is not very impressive and that you're not happy with and notice, you know, sit down and write down all the thoughts that come to your mind about it. So let's take money, since that's what I was. You know, if I sat down and wrote down all of my beliefs about money and my ability to make it and its availability to me and my judgments around it, it wasn't a pretty picture. So the first thing is to do the work so that you get aware of what you're creating, and then start telling yourself a different story. And, you know, this whole affirmation thing and all that stuff, it doesn't work unless you have unless there's a spark to it for you. So for me to say I can afford it felt false at first because, you know, there was my black hole of a bank account staring back at me.
You had to lie to yourself, right?
I had to lie to myself, but it wasn't, you know, when I made the decision to change the talking and the thinking that was going on with myself, I had to sort of massage it a bit. So I actually, it was more, I can afford it because I'm somebody who could create the kind of situation where I could afford it. Do you know what I mean?
Like, right. Yeah, exactly.
Cheryl can afford this in some version of herself is sort of what I was going for. So it became true to me. So you got to make sure that whatever story you're rewriting, it has to have some juice and some truth. You don't have to buy in 100%, but it's got to have some energy behind it, or else it's just going to be a bunch of stupid words that you say over and over.
Right. But that's a great thing that you just mentioned, that a version of yourself can afford it. Maybe not the version you presently are, but you can create that. And you did. I mean, look at audience. Let me just share with you. I mean, the book we're talking about, Jen has 1,853 reviews on Amazon, 4.5 stars. I mean, that's pretty amazing. You know, you just sort of created a new version of yourself, right?
Yeah.
What's the G word?
God is the G word. And I, you know, I was so snarky about all things religious and any kind of God talk back in the day. And, you know, and a lot of this, the practice of the self-overhaul that I'm teaching in all the badass books has a lot to do with spirituality. And that was probably the biggest stopping block for me from moving forward with a lot of this stuff, because I thought it was such a bunch of crap and I was so skeptical and thought everybody was an idiot who bought into that kind of stuff. And so that's why I call it the G word, because it was like a dirty word for me. But, you know, then I got desperate enough where I would have done anything to figure it out. And I started studying this stuff and putting it into practice, and it was amazing, and it really changed my life. And so,
was it a particular religion or spirituality in general?
No, it was more just an understanding that we really live in an energetic universe, and the energy that you put out comes back to you, and that there's just a bigger force behind, you know, behind and within all of us that's at play. It's not just our minds and our version. And the stuff that's coming out of us, there really is a universal connectedness to everything.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the scoffing of spirituality is a rather arrogant idea, to think that, you know, this is just it. What we can see, there's so much we can't perceive. That, I mean, look at 100 years ago, all the stuff that's happened and that we now take for granted, and we know, and, you know, we know it as sure as anything we know. But 100 years ago, they couldn't know that stuff. They didn't know about all the stuff Einstein would discover. And I mean, there's all sorts of things we'll know 100 years from now that we don't know today, obviously, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. How important is gratitude? You talk a lot about that. I mean, you just talk about everything in the book, you know. I don't know what you talk about in the new book yet, because I haven't read it. But
I talk about gratitude in that book too. Yeah. Well, you know, as we were talking about earlier, everything is an energy, and the energy that you consciously or unconsciously put out comes back to you. So we're choosing the direction of our lives, whether we're doing it purposefully or not. And usually when, you know, for me, being broke for so long, I was making decisions and choices about the energy I was putting about and the words and the thoughts without realizing it. And that's why I was, you know, sitting in a car with duct tape all over the back window, you know? So gratitude, when you get into gratitude is such a high frequency energy, and it puts you in this place of, so for example, I can't afford it. Let's go back to that one that I was talking about before. Instead of saying I can't afford it, if I was just grateful for every penny I had and every penny that was coming to me and every penny that I believed was, you know, abundantly out there rolling around in the universe waiting to land on top of me. If you're grateful, the feeling of being grateful, you can feel it. Like, I can feel it in my chest just even talking about it. It's such an uplifting energy and also an expectant energy, and it makes you available for so many more things than you would be available if you were not in a state of gratitude. It opens up.
Maybe the way to understand that to some extent is to look at the opposite of it, to look at the alternative. Going through life angry at everything, thinking nothing is good enough, thinking you've been dealt a bad hand. You know, Voltaire has that great quote that said, you know, we cannot choose the cards life deals us, but we must choose how to play our cards in order to win the game. So we can either look at it like, why didn't I get a better hand? Or we can look at it like, hey, here's my hand. How am I going to play this? How am I going to win with this? And one is ungrateful attitude and the other is grateful, right?
Right. And, you know, really what you focus on, you create more of. So if you focus on being grateful for everything you've got and everything you're excited to create, then that's what you're going to create instead of being a whiny sad sack.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Lead with your crotch. That's actually a chapter in your book.
Mm-hmm. And it's not what everybody thinks.
Tell us about it.
I was in a rock band called Crotch in the 90s. And that's just a chapter about having more fun with life. We create such drama and such angst, and everything has to be perfect, and we have to be perfect, and we can't look like idiots. And when I was in Crotch, we'd been playing guitar. You know, we started a band and got on stage within 5 weeks, and none of us knew how to play our instruments. And it really lent this sort
and
of
you admit it.
To the whole experience. Because when you don't know what the hell you're doing, you're not a perfectionist. You just, you know, the motto was, we just want to see what we can get away with. And, you know, lo and behold, we got a demo deal with Columbia Records. We were playing Saturday nights in New York City at the great clubs. Like, we got so successful and we sucked. But we were really awesome. Fun. And we just went at it with this very lighthearted, adventurous, who cares if we fail? Because we don't care. And I think that it's such a great attitude to have with everything in your life. You know, I'm all for practicing and getting good at your instruments. Like, that definitely came later. Right. But but also, we sort of take the fun out of it when we get good at stuff.
Right.
It has to be perfect and it's serious. And, you know, it's like, get over yourself. If you get fun with it,
right?
That's the whole point.
But Jen, here's the wisdom on what you're saying there, in what you're saying there, in leading with your crotch, is that, you know, people go and see bands sometimes because they just want to be light and have a good time. And they're not worried about your technical skill level. That's a rule that, you know, you made, right? You know, that's not necessarily the rule the audience made. So maybe they just want to come watch some people have a good time and, you know, crank out some sound. Sometimes they do want to hear a symphony, or they want to hear the most talented band in human history, Rush, you know, really technical stuff. And, you know, that by very practiced people, it just depends. I mean, there are different things for different moods and different people, right?
Absolutely. And we were definitely a specific thing for a specific mood and a specific person.
But it worked. It had its audience. Yeah.
It had its audience, absolutely. And it really embodied this thing that I'm talking about. You know, and even should I have become like the most talented guitar player ever to roam the earth, if I could keep that spirit and be the most talented, that's the winning combination, I think.
Absolutely.
Where you just don't take yourself too seriously. You work hard and you do your best and all that stuff, but lighten up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's touch a little bit on the new book, a little bit more on that. I mean, we've done some of that already, but I just want to do that before you go. I'm excited to get a copy of it and can't wait to dive into it. You are a badass at making money, which is something I've always been pretty good at, actually. But, you know, you can always do more and be better. Tell us about that book, specifically some of the principles in there.
Sure. Well, as I said, money was my huge Achilles heel. So this was a book I was really excited to write. And quite frankly, a lot of people who bought You Are a Badass, a big stumbling block for theirs was money also. So I think it's such a important topic and such a loaded topic, which is the main reason why most people don't have a whole lot. I think that that there's so much judgment around it. We feel guilty for wanting it. We feel stupid for not having any. We resent the rich.
You can't win at the money mindset. A lot of people, they won't let themselves win, huh?
It's true. Right? And so, you know, and as we were just talking, since your entire reality is created by your words, beliefs, and thoughts and actions, if that's what's rolling around in your mind, you're screwed. And that's why you're broke. So you're not screwed. You can totally fix it. Sorry. But until you become aware of how you're thinking and believing and speaking and the actions that are, you know, resulting from that stuff, you're going to stay right where you are. So this book goes really deeply into the specific thoughts and beliefs and words surrounding money and, you know, talks about very specific scenarios around those. Because, you know, the beautiful thing about the human psyche, we're really not that original. So the patterns that most people have around their finances and the beliefs around money are very, I don't know, you see them a lot in different people. So I interviewed a whole bunch of people for this book and talked about their issues and deconstructed them and helped, you know, work through them and stuff like that. So I think no matter, you know, if you're listening to this, whatever you've got going on with money, if you're stuck, you will most likely find something that'll resonate with you in this book.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. The world is an abundant place. Bring another version of yourself to it. You know, I just learned some great stuff from your badass book, the first in the series. You're going to make a whole franchise out of this, right? That's the plan?
That's the plan.
Good deal. What's coming after money?
I can't tell you that. Well, no, I can't tell you because I don't know yet, but I've got about 75 ideas. So one of them will win.
Yeah. Well, you can always just publish all 75 of them, maybe one per year, right?
Yeah, right.
Good stuff. Yeah. Jen, give out your website and Twitter handle or anything you want to share where people can find you.
Okay, that'd be great. My website is jensincero.com, and that's J-E-N, and then it's like the word sincere, S-I-N-C-E-R-O.com, and you can sign up for my newsletter there, where I'll give all sorts of tips and tell you about coaching programs I have coming up and book stuff. And then my Twitter handle is just Jen Sincero, J-E-N-S-I-N-C-E-R-O. Same thing with Instagram, and on Facebook, it's The Jen Sincero.
Fantastic. Jen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. That was so fun.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guest opinions are their own, and if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.